Go with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians, the third chapter. We've been on a series that I'm changing the title of. We called it the God of Increase. And that's what I thought it was, until the Lord showed me it was something different. And it has changed. And it has grown and developed. And so I'm calling it now Principles of Increase. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Foundational Principles of Increase. Amen. And what I mean by that, God's principles. Right. Foundational Principles of Increase. And we're beginning today on part two of the series.
Oh, okay.
Part one had 13 messages.
All right.
Well, that's one of the benefits of having a church.
Exactly. Right?
Yes. That if you don't finish up one Sunday, you can come back. The Lord, long as the Lord tarries his coming, you can keep going. And so the Lord's given me three major foundational principles of increase. And when I began on it months ago, my emphasis, my thinking was, we're just talking about God being the God of increase. That's who he is. That's what he is. That's what his will is. And certainly that's true and that's right. But you know, you don't really need to work on God's part. He's got his part, right? And he's going to do what he said he's going to do. What we need to think about is what's our part in this. And so that's what this has developed into, is what we've spent our first segments on is what I'll call the first principle of increase, foundational principle, and that is honor.
Amen.
Honor. The Lord said, those that honor me, I will honor.
Amen.
Well, then, it's not all up to him.
Right.
He said, those that honor me. Well, that's something I do. That's something you do. And, you know, I thought we'd go one time and look at the woman's alabaster box offering. And we wound up looking at it like, what, 10 times or something. And why? Because why did the Lord keep leading us back to it? Because of honor.
Amen.
That was and is an honor offering.
Mm-hmm.
And the devil, who is so disrespectful, such a blasphemer, he tried to turn the woman's honor gift into a negative thing. And say, why didn't she or the disciples sell it and give the money to the poor? And the reason we need to camp on that is because much of the church world believes exactly like that today. That you should not have anything expensive or nice because you could give that to the poor. But we have found out God is an also God. He can do both. He can do three things. He can do a dozen things at the same time. And what does her honor gift to Jesus have to do with the poor? What has one got to do with the other? Nothing. It is a lie and a deception. Jesus said, you can help the poor anytime you want to. But leave her alone. She has done a good work on me. And what she did didn't feed anybody, didn't clothe anybody. You know, what did it do? It was an honor thing. And so in order to have God's increase in your life, you know, I mean, you can get stuff a number of different ways. You can get you a pistol and go rob somebody and get stuff. You can lie. You can steal. But that's not God adding it to you.
Exactly. That's right.
I'm talking about God's increase.
Amen.
The Lord adding stuff to you the right way and the right time in order for him to do it. You got to learn and understand honor. And it's something that is sadly lacking in our current generation.
Yes.
We've got families that have not been taught to understand honor for four generations now. Their parents didn't learn it. Their parents' parents didn't learn it. They don't know it. Don't know anything about it. It's just a foreign concept to them. And we can't control all of that, but we can be light in the darkness. Is that right? We're supposed to be the light of the world. And a part of that is having, knowing, showing honor. Now, honor is not pride. I said, it is not pride. Somebody talking, you're talking about having pride and stuff. No, pride is evil. Pride is of the devil. Honor is of God. You're talking about two radically, completely different things. And you won't learn honor except from God. From His Word, from His Spirit, from His people who are like Him. Are you interested in this at all?
Yes.
Now, we've already covered quite a bit of this, so you can go back and go online to the Word Supply. Won't cost you anything. There's no charge for any of that. And you can get the previous, 13 messages or whatever. It won't hurt you. It'll help you.
Right.
But everybody said out loud, Father God,
I desire
to honor you,
the way I
should.
Teach me.
Open my eyes. My heart and my mind.
Reveal
to me that I may understand. That I may know. And that I may walk in. Your honor. The honor of God. And grace me to honor you and your people and your things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now that is His will. He heard that prayer if you meant business. And so He immediately, you'll start seeing some things. But now it's up to you and me whether we take heed to what He shows us and make the adjustments. But are you willing?
Yes.
Because remember, those that honor Him, He will honor. Well, part of that honor is increase. That's part of the way He honors you, is by adding all manner of good things to you. But without taking the time to read the text, because we've done extra things today, go ahead with me to Exodus, the 20th chapter. We'll just skip ahead a little bit. Exodus 20, and we're beginning in the second part of this series, Foundational Principles of Increase. Is it okay that I change the title? Is that okay?
Yeah.
All right, good. I'm endeavoring to follow my instructions, so... And what I can see right now is three parts to it. And so we'll say we've touched on the first part, honor. And now we begin to talk about the second part. And the second part is worship. Worship. Now, I don't know about you, but I think a lot of people don't automatically think of worship attached to increase. Oh, but it's a big part. And one thing that we need to understand, there's much more to increase than giving.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Hmm?
Yes, sir.
Got two amens over here. Yeah, it's right to have offerings. Yes, giving, sowing, and reaping, it is a part. It's a substantial part. It's not the only part. It's possible to give and not be blessed. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
It is. It's possible to sow and not reap. Reaping is not automatic. I almost hear somebody say, can't believe that preacher's saying there's more to it than giving. You heard it right. Right. There's a lot more to God increasing you than putting something in an offering. With Him, it's always about the heart. Always. Not just going through the mechanical motion of something. With Him, it's always about the heart. Man looks on the outward appearance. But God, He looks right down into you. And he knows your motive, your intentions, why you're doing what you're doing. And can you hear these first two that we're already talking about? Are these heart things?
Yes.
Honor?
Yes.
Heart thing. Worship?
Yes.
Heart thing. You can't worship without your heart.
Amen.
You can make a noise. But you can't worship without heart. So in Exodus 20, way back in the beginning of these things, Exodus 20 verse 1, God spoke all these words and he said, I am the Lord your God, which have brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Now you know, every one of these things has a spiritual parallel with us. How many know we can and should say, he is the Lord my God that brought me out of spiritual death, that brought me out of bondage, that brought me out of being lost. Right? He is. And he said in verse 3, you shall have no other gods before me. Somebody say, no other gods.
No other gods.
Now, God's big on this.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, he makes no exceptions. No exceptions. There's only one number one spot in your heart. If your kids are first, God's not. If your spouse is first, if your family is first, you understand what I'm saying? All these things. There's only one, number one, place. And God expects to have it in your life. And there to be no question about whose place it is. And you know, we live in a world where we, sadly, in our generation, in our own country here, the U.S., has embraced all manner of other religions. Somebody said, well, that's, you know, what's wrong with that? Ask God.
Yeah.
Ask the one and only God, the creator of heaven and earth, if he's okay with it.
No.
Mm-mm. He's not. Have you read the Old Testament at all?
Yeah.
What was Israel's downfall? What destroyed them? Over and over again. Other gods. Right? Other gods. Well, why in the world would you even do that? I mean, some of the stuff is just so illogical, so irrational. I mean, why in the world make a statue and grovel in front of it? A gold calf. It's really stupidity. But see, what's going on is spiritual forces are pushing it. The enemy knows the quickest way to take you out is to get you worshiping, get you to replace God. Replace God with some other God. Hmm? And you need to make up your mind. You need to be absolutely fully convinced and sure. I got one God. One God. The Lord my God, the creator of heaven and earth, the only God.
Amen. Yes, sir.
I don't worship any other God. I don't acknowledge any other God. No, I'm sorry. I will not. I'm not even sorry. I shouldn't say that. I'm not sorry. I cannot show respect to your false God. Now, I don't have to be mean to you. I don't have to try to cram the gospel down your throat. But no, I'm not going to act like your God is on an equal basis with my God. No. Mm-mm. The truth is, if you don't accept Jesus, you're not saved.
That's right.
And you're not going to make heaven.
No.
This is not something to play with. This is not something to pretend about. This is eternity. There's only one God. Hmm? And that's what he's saying here. He's saying, I'm the Lord your God that brought you out. And you will have no other gods before me. And all the people said, Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Amen. No other gods. You shall not make to you any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that's in heaven above or earth beneath, or that's in the water under the earth. You will not bow down yourself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. And it'd have to be, if he doesn't care whether you grovel and get involved with all these demons and false gods, then he don't care about you. Right? That's like a married person. If they don't care if their spouse has affairs with 10 different people, they don't care about them. If you do care about them, it's not okay.
Amen.
Right? Amen. It's not okay. And God cares about us. He loves us. And so we have to be exclusive. Right? Yes. Worshiping him only.
Amen.
Right? Yes. Now see, we're not taking some side trail. This is one of the foundational principles of increase. Because who would we be looking to increase us? God. Well, what if you're not even sure who you're worshiping? You're not setting up for increase. The only God. Exodus 34:14 says it again. You'll worship no other God. For the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. And you notice he talked about no graven images. And if you look at the other scriptures, no pictures. Huh? And you must not be gallivanting around on vacation. And they tell you, let's experience some culture. And let them blow some incense over you. And chant some things. Are you nuts?
No.
Are you crazy? There's demons involved in this stuff. You better get yourself out of there. Right? No. You do not ever bow your knee to another God or in front of a statue or a picture. And you don't have any such abominable thing in your house. Oh, well, it's beautiful culture. No, it's idolatry. And it brings curse and destruction. No, no. Evil, beautifully done, still evil. Yeah, but there's such a talented artist. Yeah, and demon possessed probably.
Amen.
Or inspired. Talent is not all there is to it. What's the source? Where did it come from? What inspired it? Now, go with me, if you would, to the book of Matthew. Now, if you say, well, now, Brother Keith, you just need to be more tolerant. You need to be more exclusive.
No.
Tell it to God.
Yeah.
Tell it to him. I didn't write this.
Right.
Huh? I didn't write this. This didn't come from me.
Right.
This was here a long time before my mom and daddy came along. Right? I'm just reminding you and myself.
Right. Yes, sir.
Matthew 4. This is the account where the enemy tempted Jesus for these 40 days and 40 nights. What is it about verse 4? Let's start there for time's sake. Matthew 4. Let's don't be too big of a rush. Verse 1. Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. To be what?
Tempted.
Now, we know from this passage, Jesus was tempted.
Right.
Hmm? And you got to get this clear in your mind. Now, being tempted is not the same as sinning. Sinning is not just being tempted, it's yielding to the temptation. It's giving in to the temptation. The Bible said in Hebrews, Jesus was tempted in all points, just like us. In anything you've ever been tempted in, He was tempted too. Now, a lot of people, they don't even believe that. They don't want to believe that. But it's because he really became human and really functioned as a human being. But he never gave in. Proving you don't have to. Proving you can resist if you choose to. Now, thank God, if you did give in, the Lord will forgive you. And the blood can cleanse you. But don't act like you can't help it. Because if you couldn't help it, you shouldn't have to repent. You shouldn't be responsible. No, truth is, all of us that have sinned and made a mistake, we could have done something different. That's why we had to repent. So here, he's being what? Tempted. Keep reading. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread." Now, Jesus was hungry. Do you think that Jesus believed that these stones could become bread? Oh, yeah. Sure, he knows that. And that the Father would hear his prayer, or that he could speak to him and command. Yeah. Well, then why not do it? You hungry? Miracles can happen? Why not do it? Well, for one thing, you don't want the devil directing you.
Yeah.
Exactly. Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
You ain't going to wind up good letting the devil lead you. And Jesus said, "I only do what I see the Father do.
Amen.
I only say what I hear him say." And the Father didn't tell him to do this.
Right.
It's the enemy trying to get him to do this. And the enemy is really tricky. Oh, he's tricky. And how did Jesus respond? How did he overcome this temptation? Help me out. It is written. Do you have "it is written"? Most of us right now got it in our hands. Is that right?
Yeah.
It is written. This is how you overcome.
Amen.
This is how you overcome every temptation.
Amen.
Every temptation. I don't care what it is that's been bugging you. If it's drugs, drink, sex, lust, covet, whatever it may be, the answer is here. It's in here. And if you'll ask the Lord, he'll show you. And he'll give you a word. And there's power in that word. The next time you're tempted, you can do exactly what Jesus did. Instead of just yielding and giving in, that word will come to you. And you can speak that word and there will be power to help you not to yield.
Amen.
Do you believe it or not?
Yes.
Jesus is not just doing this to be doing something. He didn't need to pay for his sins. What's he doing here? He's showing us how to do it.
Yes.
Showing us how to do it. He said, "It's written, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Well, the enemy thought, okay, that didn't work. Verse 5, "Then the devil took him up to the holy city, set him on a pinnacle of the temple," so he's going to come at him from another way. And he said, verse 6, "If you be the Son of God, throw yourself down." And then he thinks he's so smart, he's going to quote Jesus some scripture.
Right, yeah.
Because Jesus likes scripture and is quoting "it is written." I got some "it is written." "It is written, he will give his angels charge concerning you, and in their hands they'll bear you up, lest at any time you dash your foot against a stone." And so what he's saying is, you believe that or not? Prove it. Jump. It's written. Angels will swoop in and get you. You believe it or not? You believe it or not? Sounds like, "I dare you." Right?
Yes.
Chicken? Are you chicken? How many say you it's foolish to respond to such things?
Exactly.
"I dare you."
Yeah.
So what? Don't work on me.
Amen.
Are you chicken? See, that just means you're insecure if you go, "I'll prove it to you." This means you don't know who you are. You don't know what you're at. You're insecure. You're trying to prove it to yourself. Verse 7, Jesus said, it's written again. There's other scriptures in there too. Is that right? It is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Or that word can also be translated test. It's that prove it stuff. You are not called to prove God to other people, or to prove faith, or to prove things, or to prove that the Bible is true. That's too big for you, dear heart, honey child. That's too big for you and me. Our job is hear from Him, do what He says. That's it. Leave the rest of it with Him. Not my job. And I certainly don't, you know, you certainly should know enough to go, not yell and go, God, if you're there, prove it. Prove it. Oh, you're going to tempt the Lord. You're going to test Him. Yeah, God, you better get me because I'm going to jump off the top here. I'm jumping off. You better get me. Yeah, you're going to splat. The only reason you should jump is He told you to jump. Who's telling Him to jump? The devil. Then what? Don't you dare jump. Right?
Yes.
Now let's keep going. Next verse. The devil took Him up to an exceeding high mountain and showed Him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Now what is He there to do? What's the devil trying to do? Tempt Jesus. Tempt Him to do what? Tempt Him to yield to Him instead of faithfully, closely following the Father. See, this is the same kind of thing. Why do we see in the Old Testament the Israelites over and over again embracing false gods? Some of it just is illogical. It's unreasonable. Why? Because the enemy is pushing it so hard. He tempts people to replace God with something else. Because He knows, if you'll do that, you cut yourself off from His help. Mm-hmm. And from His protection. And that's what, if He can get that, then He can get to you. And He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And so the enemy took Him up and showed Him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And you know He's about to say, you know, I'll give this to you. Would that be a temptation to the Lord? See, did you hear there wasn't a full response on that? People are like, oh, no. The Bible said it was a temptation. Okay? Why would it be a temptation? It's a shortcut. This is what He's destined for. The King of Kings. The Lord of Lords. Amen. The Bible said all the kingdoms will become His.
Right?
Right. Right? Right. And the enemies, without going into detail, He's saying, you don't have to go to the cross. Right. You don't have to mess with all that. Here, you can have it right now. You can be King of all the kings and Lord of all the lords. You can be in charge of all the kingdoms and you can have all the glory if what? Go to the next verse. If what? All these things, everybody say things.
Things.
Now see, the glory of them included their wealth. Their wealth. That term is used all through the scriptures talking about material wealth. The glory of them, including all their material wealth, I will give you. If you fall down and what?
Worship.
And what?
Worship
Me. What's the enemy trying to do? He's trying to buy Him. He's trying to buy His commitment, his worship with the kingdoms of the world. All the glory of them, all the power of them, all the control of them, all the wealth of them. He's trying to buy. Can you see? It's the same thing he's done all the way since Adam and Eve. He keeps trying to do the same thing right up to the current day. What? Forget God. He said, forget God. Worship me. Fall down and worship me. What does this have to do with increase? It has everything to do with it. Because Jesus said, no one can serve two masters.
That's right.
Didn't he say that?
Yes, sir.
And he went on to say, you can't serve God and mammon, which is money, which is exactly what is included in all these kingdoms. Because what is money anyway? People are not killing each other over paper.
Yeah.
What is money? Of course, nowadays it's ones and zeros. But what is it? It's ability to buy, to have, to control.
Yeah.
Right? That's what the world is in strife over. And what does the enemy want to do? He wants all the money. Because he wants all the control, all the power. And he's the one that has, you know, weaved these lies into the church until you've got most of the church thinks they're not even supposed to have any money. Be ashamed if you have some, right? And ain't always trying to shame you if you have anything, if you didn't give every penny to the poor. These are lies. I said, these are lies. Who wants the church broke? God wants it. He told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. With what? With what? Huh? But you're not supposed to have anything? Doesn't work. Can you see the enemy is trying to buy Jesus? He's trying to lure him into falling down and worshiping him. And whether you understand it or not, it was a temptation. You know, avoiding the cross is appealing. I mean, even when Jesus was right there about to face it, what did he pray?
Yes, he did.
What did he pray? Father, all things are possible with you, right? If there be any way, let this cup pass from me. Well, see, the enemy knows that. And he's like, hey, skip all that pain and suffering. Void all that. And just go straight to ruling and reigning.
Amen.
Over all the kingdoms, all their armies, all their power, all their banks, all their gold, all their purchasing power, their controlling power, all the kingdoms, all the glory and power of them, they will be yours. And all you got to do is fall down and worship me. Now, the scripture says covetousness is idolatry. And this is why we need to talk about these things, because folks haven't made these connections. Even now, I can tell while I'm talking about this, once in a while, somebody may think, well, what's this got to do with increase? Everything. Because covetousness is the problem. Money's not the problem. It's the love of money. That's the problem. And the Lord can't add anything to you if you care more about it than you do Him. Because that would hurt you. That would take you away from Him. And before He can add something to, especially if something meant too much to you, you're going to have to die to it. before he can add it to you. Are y'all okay? You're going to have to die to it. And the way you die to it is by giving it away. Letting it go. Doing without it for a while. Oh, we're getting excited now, aren't we? Yeah. Woo! Yay! Huh?
All right. Thank you, Lord.
You got to... I know when I was 13. Y'all got time for a story?
Yeah.
I was 13. My grandmother was the secretary, treasurer, and Sunday school teacher at the local Pentecostal church where we grew up. And so even though initially my parents weren't going to church, she saw to it that my brother and I were there. Thank you, Lord. And I have always liked motorcycles. I mean, you know, other guys had a picture of girls in their bedroom or something. I had a motorcycle. And there was this guy ripping down the road, and his hair is flying in the wind on this motorcycle. I go, that's it right there. That's what I want to do. And so when I was 13, there was this little Harley Davidson that became for sale not too far from where I was. And I didn't have the money, but, you know, I was trying to talk my dad into getting it for me and this kind of thing. So then... it wasn't seeming to work. I resorted to prayer. And I said, Lord, if you help me get this motorcycle, I will ride it to church. I will go to church. What are you laughing about? What are you laughing? I'm 13, okay? I will ride this motorcycle to church. Because it wasn't far from my house. And the Lord did. He helped me to get that motorcycle. And so, man, I'm, you know, 13. Somebody said, did you have a driver's license? Yeah. I was thinking about it. This is the country. This is way in the sticks, okay? Yeah. And so I rode the motorcycle to church twice, I think. And then I forgot about it. And I'm a teenager and I'm doing other things and I didn't go. And is that an issue?
Yes.
It is. Yeah. But you know, people do that kind of thing all the time. They soldier in a foxhole. God, if you get me home, right? If you'll get me home, I'll serve you. Some of them even say, God, if you get me home, I'll preach. Right? And they get home and never think about it again. And is that a problem?
Yes.
It's a serious problem. Why? Because what do you worship? What is your God? What is your priority? What is first place in your life? Well, from the time I was 13 until... you know, Phyllis and I married and eventually went to Bible school. I was a motorhead. My cousins raced cars on a professional level, and they helped me build engines for my stuff. And I worked, man. Even though when I was in junior high and high school, I was working 40, 50 hours a week on the side. Got to make money, you know, buy pistons and camshafts and stuff.
Yeah.
And I had Camaros and Mustangs and we, you know, had them upright. But when Phyllis and I, after we married, got a hold of the Word and began to realize the truth about God and His call, and he caused us to know we were to leave home and go to Bible school out in Oklahoma. And I knew I needed to walk away from all of that other. And I had a 37 Ford coupe that I had just built. I left it sitting in the yard. I had a Kawasaki 900 that was one of the fastest things around.
Yeah.
I left it sitting there. And I left the stuff and went to school and drove a little weak six-cylinder pickup. I needed to. I needed to get it out of my system. It was too important to me. It was too big a part of my life. I'd spend half an afternoon, half a day, sandblasting and painting parts on the engine. You know, which, if you got time, if there's priority, but I'm called to the ministry now. Come on, y'all listening? And so years went by. I eventually sold my project car that we'd built, sold it for parts. Sold the other stuff for parts. Just got out of it. And I'm riding with my wife part of the time in her car. And it took years until I knew, you know, the Lord could add it to me again. But it wouldn't mean to me what it meant back then. And it'll never be my God. And anything I have, He can touch me and say, let it go, sell it, sow it, give it, and I can. And I will. Huh? It's just stuff. It's not my God. So whether it's a car or a house or jewelry or whatever it may be, nothing can be your God except the one and only Lord God, Creator of heaven and earth, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's my only, only God. Only God. And nothing else has that kind of place in my heart. And so I eventually got to the Lord helped me to see, don't say you love things. People say, I love my car, I love my house. That's too strong a word. These are things that are going to melt with fervent heat one day. Right? They're going to be gone. I mean, you. I don't care if you buy a $1 million car, you drive it off the lot, it's beginning to rust right now. It's going down. Houses, lands, all of these things. I mean, the whole earth itself is going to melt. And God's replacing it with new heavens and new earth. So don't get too attached to stuff down here. It's going. Right? I heard some Bible school students when I taught there years ago talking about, one of them was supposed to have been testifying, but he's kind of bragging about all the stuff that he had. And finally, one of the other guys spoke up and said, so what? Your pile of ashes will be bigger than mine. Yes, the Lord's a good God. The Bible said He gives us richly all things. Everybody say things. Things to enjoy. Jesus said, the Father knows you have need of all these things, right? But they must not be a priority in your life. They must not take first place in your thought life and your time and your effort. And if anything has been like that in your life, you need to get away from it for a while. You need to have some distance, maybe for years.
Amen.
And then when and if the Lord can add it back to you, He will. Unless it takes you away from Him. And then that would just be hurting you. What did the enemy say? All these things, they'll be yours. He said, it was delivered to me, the devil said. Who gave it to him? Not God. It was Adam and Eve. It was delivered to me, and I can give it to whoever I want to, he said, the devil said. And he said, I'll give it all to you if you'll fall down and worship me. And we know that as a man, there was a pull on Jesus. A pull to skip the cross. But, hallelujah, the Father is first and only to Him. And immediately there comes rushing up in Him, it is written. Come on, what's the next verse? What did He answer him? It is written. He said, it is written. But first of all, he said, you need to get out of here. You need to get lost.
Amen.
Get out of here.
Amen.
Why? Because I'm not worshiping you. I am never worshiping you. This is not even something to discuss. Because it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. That's what the Lord dealt with me. Don't say you love pizza. Don't say you love apple pie. Don't say you love your car or your house or an airplane or a boat or any such thing. No, no. Too strong a word. Too strong a word. You can enjoy it.
Right. Yes.
But you don't love it. We love God.
Yes.
And we love people.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
We love God. We love people. Everybody stand up and say, I worship the Lord my God. And him only
do
I worship.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands. Begin to praise and thank the Lord. Oh, somebody say glory to God, glory to God.
This ministry has been brought to you today, free of charge, by the partners of More Life Ministries and Faith Life Church. If you would like to help send this word to others at no charge, you can become a word sender today. For more information, visit our website at morelife.org.